I want to get into God's word this morning, don't you? I want to get in and see what he's got for us. He is so good, and he is worthy to be praised. Amos chapter 4 is where we'll be, starting in verse 4. We're in the Old Testament here, minor prophets. Amos 4:4, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned to me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months of the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece, whereupon it rained not, withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase. The paler worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Do you hear a pattern here? I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Here's the last verse we'll look at. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to preach. Help us to listen, Lord, that you'd strengthen my voice. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. But also, Lord, help me to get out of the way. Lord, open up our ears and our hearts, Lord, that we could see the truth from your word. We ask the Spirit would touch hearts. If there's any lost, I pray that they'd come to know you today. Lord, if there's any backslidden, that they would repent and return to you. And Lord, that we would draw closer to you. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So the nation of Israel was split in two at this point. You had the northern kingdom, which they called Israel, the southern kingdom they called Judah. Each of them had their own kings. They were not on the same page. Sometimes they even fought against each other. But the king, Jeroboam, in the northern kingdom of Israel, he did not want his people going to Judah into Jerusalem. He did not want them crossing over to worship, even though that was where they were supposed to. So 1 Kings 12:28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before one, even unto Dan. So the king of Israel, Jeroboam, he said, you know what? Instead of them going all the way to Jerusalem, instead of them going to where God wanted them to worship, we'll just build these two golden calf idols, and we will put them in Bethel and Dan, so that way you can go to either one of them. You can worship. You can act like it's the Lord. You can bring your sacrifices. You can do everything. And we'll do everything just like they did in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. We'll just do it in a different place. Oh, but by the way, we'll worship an idol while we're doing it. You know, God never approved of this. God made it very clear that we are not, our God is an invisible God. We cannot build something that represents him. We are not to bow down to anything, any statue or anything else. And what makes it worse is if you go back to the days of Moses when he was on the mountain and came down, what happened? While he was gone, Aaron and the group got the bright idea to build a golden calf. And what happened after that? The Lord hated that. The Lord was angry. He was against that. And now they think they can do it again. But isn't this what happens a lot of times? We get away from God's word. We get away from the truth. And history starts repeating itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They're doing something that God was clearly against, but it was a wicked solution by a wicked king. So all it did was lead the nation of Israel into greater sinfulness. Well, our God, what did he do? If you are reading through the Old Testament and reading through the different books around this time period, what you'll find is even though Israel was constantly led by an evil king and they were constantly wicked, God kept sending them prophets. He would send them prophets and warn them and say, what you're doing is against God. What you're doing is no good. He sent Ahijah, Jehu, Micaiah, Elijah, Elisha, Hosea, Micah, and Amos. He sent them all to Israel at different points of time, but he told them the same thing. You've got to repent. What you're doing is sinful. What you're doing is wrong, and you need to turn and come back to God. But here's the problem. Israel didn't listen to the warnings.
Yeah.
They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't hear what God's man had to say. And now we're to Amos. He's one of the last ones that is, and we're in the final decades of Israel even being a nation before they're taken over. And we want to look today at part of his message here in chapter 4. But what's he say in verse 4? Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. So the Lord in these verses is speaking to Israel through Amos. And now this should cause you to really be concerned and cause you to step back and say, wait a second, because if the Lord is talking to Israel, why does he start out with in verse 4, come to Bethel and transgress? Do you see what he's saying? The Lord is telling them, it'd be like the equivalent of us today, of him saying, come to church and sin. You're saying, now wait a second. What is he saying here? Why is the Lord, see, this should cause us to stop in our tracks and say, what is it? If we go through the whole Bible, the Lord is not, he does not invite us to sin. He does not encourage us to sin. So what is going on here? Why did he say that? In verse 5, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. If you go in the book of Leviticus, this sacrifice was described on how to offer it. And it made sure and said, you are not to put any leaven in it. And the Lord is now saying, go ahead and offer it with leaven. Again, why is the Lord saying this? This should stop us in our tracks. If you're a Bible studier and you understand the Bible, you should say, now wait a second. And in the Bible, when leaven is mentioned, it's yeast is what we would call it today. But it's always a picture of sin in the Bible. So again, he's saying, offer your thanksgiving offering with sin. Worship with sin. It doesn't make sense, does it? Jesus said to his disciples, Luke 12:1, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So again, this is sin. Why is this going on? And you heard me read verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And one of the things you see over and over again is that ending part to the verse.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying, hey, in the beginning, your teeth are clean. Right? Why is he saying that? Not because they were brushing their teeth. He's saying you haven't been eating. So your teeth are pretty clean right now. Why? Because there's a famine in the land. Yet, you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Right? Verse 7. I made it to rain in one place and not rain in another place. And I did this over and over again. So it wasn't just some kind of weather forecast. You understand that it was the Lord intervening. Amen? We in this part of the country, we understand in our area, the storms usually come, what, from the west to the east. And if you're east, you know, I've got coworkers in Richwood, and they say it's snowing. It's going to snow about an hour and a half later where we're at, right? It just happens. I used to have coworkers in Chicago. It'd be about a day later, right? The weather would just come this way. Now imagine if every rainstorm hit Ashley and missed us every time. The Lord's saying, that's me doing that to try to wake you up. Yet, you've not returned unto me, said the Lord. He went further. You planted gardens. You've got fig trees. You've got vineyards. I sent plagues and bugs and everything else, and you didn't get harvests out of those things. And you chalked it up to bad luck. He's saying, no, that was me.
Yeah.
Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Right? Verse 10, I sent you plagues like the one in Israel. Right? Like the ones that Moses in Israel. I sent plagues that drastic. You fought in battles and you lost mightily. You lost your horses in battle and everything else. Victory should have been guaranteed for God's people. But they started losing. And he said, that should have been a wake-up call for you. Right? It was a wake-up call for Joshua when they were losing in Ai. They woke up and they got back and they had to realize there was sin in the camp.
Amen.
But for Israel, yet you haven't returned unto me, saith the Lord. You see what's going on here? Finally, verse 11. He says in verse 11, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet you're as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. He said, I was so close to doing the exact same thing that I did with Sodom and Gomorrah. The hailstones are just about to fall, and I plucked you out. In fact, you were a little bit on fire when I plucked you out. It was that close. Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Five times he's saying this. What's he doing? Is he punishing them? No, he's chastising them.
Yeah.
He is trying to get their attention because they're going the wrong way. They're worshiping idols and calling it the Lord. Right? They're bringing their sacrifices their way instead of God's way. They're doing all these things on their own. And God's trying to wake them up because they are his people.
Yes.
But they're refusing to repent and to turn. Prophet after prophet he sent over and over again to try to wake them up. And the same thing happened over and over again. They refused to return to the Lord. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I'm here to tell you, if you're a child of God and you are going in the wrong direction, the Lord will do the same thing to you.
Right.
Why? Not because he hates you, because he loves you. Amen.
Amen.
We correct our children, not because we hate them, because we love them. If they're about to do something dangerous, we stop them, right? And we make sure that they don't do that. And we get it in their heads not to touch the stove and things like that. Well, guess what? On a spiritual level, sometimes whether it's a nation or whether it's us, God has to do the same thing. Now, not every bad thing that happens to you is chastisement. Job teaches us that, right?
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you, if something's going on in your life and it stings, right? A low point in your life or depression or anything else, the first thing you need to look for is, do I have something that I'm doing against the Lord?
Amen.
Do I have sin in my life? Do I have things that he has pointed out in my life that I've chosen not to turn from? Because we've got to deal with that first.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But Israel refused. They refused to repent. Refused to recognize that their troubles were coming directly from the Lord. You know who this reminds me of? In the New Testament, the Pharisees, right? They thought they were close to God. They thought they were just special people. They thought that they were doing all righteousness and everything else. But every time they encountered Jesus, there was a clash.
Yeah.
Right? If they were close to God, they should have been with Jesus. But they clashed against him.
Amen.
Because they were self-righteous. They weren't doing what God wanted. They were trusting in their own works instead of trusting in Jesus for salvation. And he clashed with them the most. But he loved them.
Yes.
He could have ignored them. But instead he gave them hard truth. And a lot of them decided to push against Jesus and say, you know what, it would be better to get rid of Jesus than to turn my life and go with Jesus.
Mm.
But that happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Amen.
Verses 1 through 3 that I didn't even read tell us that there were a lot of things going wrong in the nation. But things seemed great for those that were rich and powerful. Amen? Ooh. Does that kind of sound familiar? Right? For the rich and powerful, the nation was great. For the poor, it wasn't. But in God's eyes, he saw the idolatry, even in their blessing, even in the things that were going right. He saw the rebellion, and he was sick of it. And it comes to a head in verse 12, the last one I read. He said, "And therefore thus will I do unto thee, therefore all the things I just described, all the times that you ignored me, all the times I sent prophet, all the times you wouldn't repent, because, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." The Lord is basically telling them, "I'm done with you. I'm done. I've told you over and over again that you're going the wrong way. I've given my word to you and you've ignored it. I've sent my prophets to you countless times. I've given you, and I've not done that in hate. I've done it in love. Yet you wouldn't return to me. You wouldn't listen." And he said, "Now I'm done. I'm done. Prepare to meet me." That's what he's saying. "Prepare to stand before me." And listen, if you're against God, and he's saying, "Prepare to meet me," it's in judgment.
Yeah.
Amen. Prepare to meet your punishment for your rebellion and everything else. That's serious. Get ready for my wrath to flow. So now that we've read this, let's go back to where we started in verse 4. "Come to Bethel and transgress." If God's done with them, now it starts to make sense in verse 4. He's saying, "You want to go worship a golden calf? You want to go to Bethel instead of Jerusalem where you belong? You want to do these things on your own? Go ahead. Go ahead and worship. Go ahead and go to a place that calls himself a church but won't preach Jesus Christ. Go ahead and go do what you want to do. I'm done." Right? "Go ahead and bring your sacrifice of thanksgiving and fill it with leaven and sin. Go ahead and come in here and worship with your heart filled with sin. Go ahead and act like a rebel Monday through Saturday and come in here and try to act like a Christian on Sunday. You go ahead and do it. I've told you time and again, and you have not repented. I'm done. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." He's not encouraging them to sin. He's saying, "Go ahead. Do what you want." Right? Look at the rest of the verse. "Multiply transgressions. Bring your sacrifices every morning. I don't care if you offer. I don't care if you worship while you're driving in the car to work. I don't care if you sing praises to me. I don't care if you got gospel music going on. If you will not repent when I've sent word to you over and over again, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm not accepting your worship. Go ahead and do it. I'm not taking. I'm not listening to it. I don't want it. Even bring me your tithes. You're not going to pay your way out of this."
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
Verse 5. "Proclaim and publish the free offerings." He's saying, "Hey, go and do what you want. But I'm done with all of it." And this should scare us. Amen?
Yeah.
This should be a wake-up call. It should have been a wake-up call to Israel, but it wasn't. That's the sad thing. They had heard things like this so many times, it just went in one ear and out the other. Right? They didn't care. "You won't do what my word tells you to do. You won't listen to the prophets. You refuse to behind, or repent. Go ahead." He's not condoning it. He's just done with it. And we know what happens to Israel in the future. They're overrun by the Assyrians, and God allows it. They're taken as slaves, taken captive, and they lose their nation. Within a couple decades of this, it's all over. And that should scare us, right? Because the question I have is this. When is the wake-up call from the Lord? When is it the last time?
Yeah.
Right? How do you know this one's the last one? How do you know when the last sermon is the last time? How do you know when the last time the Holy Spirit touches your heart and convicts you of your sin and shows you that you're against God when you think you're for God? When will that be the last time? I don't know. Israel didn't know. You don't know. But there will be a last time. That's what he's saying. Prepare to meet thy God. And they're just going ahead and doing whatever they want to do. And it's sad. Because he's done with them. So then you should ask yourself, Has he been chastising me lately? And I'm refusing to repent. I'm refusing to turn and do what he's told me to do. That should scare you too. Amen?
Amen.
What if it's your last time? If he told Israel, go ahead and sin, don't think he may say that to you. Amen? I believe there are people that are so steeped in what they think is religion, that's so deep in sin, they think they're doing all right. And what they've done is they've walked away from the eye-opening of God. They've walked away from the truth too many times. And God said, go ahead. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Go ahead and fly a rainbow flag outside the church. Go ahead and do it. Because I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I don't want that. Amen? I don't like the feeling of chastisement, but as long as I feel it, I know that the Lord is with me. He loves me. I'm one of His, and He's trying to get me back on the right path, and we need it. Amen?
Amen.
Good preacher. Amen? That's what we need.
Amen.
I've been working on Revelation chapter 2, memorizing it in the first, the letters to the churches. That first church is Ephesus, and he's writing to them, and he tells them, I know your works and your labor and your patience. You're doing good things, right? You think you're a busy church, you're a working church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah,
therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come upon thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place,
yeah,
except thou repent. He tells them to repent twice.
Yes. Yeah.
He says, if you don't, I'm pulling the candlestick out. And what that meant, the symbolism of that one in Revelation, is I'm going to take the church away.
Wow.
Oh, you may have a building. You may have leadership. You may call yourself something, but I'm gone. You just have it. He was trying to wake up Ephesus and say, hey, you need to repent. You need to repent.
Amen.
Is he saying that to you today? Is he giving you the wake-up call? He's saying, I can cause you to cease to be a church in my eyes. Oh, it may look different out here, but you may be able to Google it and find the church, but they're not a church in Jesus' eyes. And it's sad, because we've seen churches that have preached the truth and have walked away from it.
Amen. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what's blessed me. As I look down the road in Ashley, and when that denomination decided they're going to walk away from the truth, they took the name off and changed the name. Amen.
Yeah.
And they said they're a community church that follows the Bible. I say praise God for that. Amen.
Amen.
That excites me when I see that. And I'll tell you what, we've got to do the same thing. There's something in your life that God says has got to go. It's got to go.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's got to go. I don't want God to be fed up with me. Do you? I don't want him to be fed up with my family. I don't want him to be fed up with this church. I don't want that. Because we decided to do our things our way instead of God's way. And I'll tell you what, we're not offering sacrifices with leaven. But spiritually, you could be worshiping in sin, and it's just as big of a problem. We got to do things in God's way, in God's will, and in God's order, according to his word. That's what we've got to do. And here's the thing. You can be lulled into a false sense of security like they were. They thought everything was great. They thought the nation was doing good. Yeah, we ran into some problems with some crops, right? We had some issues, but we're okay. We're doing good. Let me tell you something. Doing good is not the same as how you are spiritually.
Yeah, amen.
You can be prospering in the eyes of this world and spiritually in trouble.
Yeah,
or vice versa. You can be poor in the things of this world and be rich spiritually. The Bible gives us,
amen,
examples of those.
Yeah.
And you can feel like everything's doing great, but be against God. But I don't want feelings, or I don't want material things judging my success. I want the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Does he approve of what I'm doing? Is he say I'm doing the right thing? That's all that matters. I don't want to go to church and sin. I don't know about you. And just when you think that the mercy is just completely done, right? And there will come a time. I'm thankful for the next chapter. in chapter 5, what's he say? In verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." Right? Verse 5, "But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal," and tells them not to go to these places. But verse 6, "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live." Amen? What's he saying? I've told you to go ahead, but I'm giving you one more chance.
Yes.
You drop that nonsense in Bethel, and you come to me. Amen? One more shot.
Yes.
And you can live. He just told them, "Prepare to meet thy God." And he said, "But you can seek me and live today."
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, we will all stand before Jesus Christ one day in judgment.
Amen.
The Bible says we will.
Yeah. Amen.
"It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment."
Yes.
Now here's the key. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God. We've all gone against Him. The Bible says it many times, many ways. And this would lead us to despair. But the best part is the Bible says that Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, not just to visit us or anything. The Bible says that He came to die for the sins of the world.
Yeah.
He lived a perfect life that you and I could not. He lived perfectly. He didn't sin against God. He completely followed the Father's will. The Bible says no guile was even in His mouth. He didn't verbally even sin with His mouth. He lived perfectly. And He voluntarily gave His life on the cross in our place. You and I deserve death. You and I deserve hell and judgment. But instead, Jesus died in our place. He did that because He loves us. And He died and He was buried. And on the third day, He rose again victoriously, a conquering death, so that we can call on His name for salvation. Amen. And that's what I did as a 9-year-old boy down in Ashley in our living room. I had grown up in church. I knew about the Lord. I knew how to sing hymns. I knew all those things, but one Sunday night, the Lord was touching my heart, and I realized that I was a sinner.
Yeah.
Didn't matter that I went to VBS. Didn't matter that I went to Sunday school. Didn't matter that my parents were members and everything else. I realized I, as a 9-year-old boy, was a sinner, and once we got home, I prayed to Jesus. I don't even remember what I said, but I basically told Him I'm a sinner and asked Him to forgive me of my sins, believing that He would, and He did that day. 31 years ago, He saved my soul. And I'll tell you what, I have failed Him. I have forsaken Him. I've gone on the wrong path. I've tried to worship my own way. I've tried to come in here with sin in my heart. He has touched my heart and told me I need to turn things. And I've ignored it many times. But aren't you glad He still loves me? He still's with me. Now, He's had to chastise me and then bring me back into the right path. But He loves me today. He loved me when He died for me. He loves me still today.
Amen.
When He's in heaven interceding for us when we pray.
Amen.
And He loves us because one day He's coming back to get the church. And I'm here to tell you that there is coming a day when the mercy will run out. You can call on His name today, but I can't promise tomorrow.
Amen.
Many of you saw this. I put it on Facebook. You know, cooking some fine dining, some Italian food, you know, spaghetti. Boiling water, you know, difficult. That's a high-level chef right there, is when you can boil water. And it reminded me, as I watched that steam come off the pot, and I even kind of followed it, and it took about a second a foot, and at about 3-4 feet, it was gone.
Yeah.
Just in a couple seconds. And you know, the Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away.
Yeah.
Our life is short.
Yes.
We're not promised tomorrow.
True.
Amen?
Amen.
We're not promised another day. You're not promised to be able to come in here and worship with us again. But Jesus is calling out to you today. And He's saying, come to me.
Amen.
And He's saying, return to me if you've walked away in some wrong direction. Return to me. But if you don't, there will come a day when you will meet your God.
Yes.
the one that created everything, you'll be standing face to face with Him and you'll have no excuse. You will remember this day and others like it. I believe in hell for eternity. But why don't you just come to Jesus? He died for you. He does something that nobody else would ever do. He loves you today and He wants a relationship with you.
Yes. Amen.
Why don't you come to Him? Why don't you come? And I'm going to ask everyone to stand.